So young children walk away. The horse, the animal, is so wonderful and marvelous, and they think all the right things, and he's so determined, and God, it's just great. And then the Indian boy is such a free spirit that works with the horse, and they overcome all of these obstacles. And the bad people, those are those men, which incidentally, even in the cartoon, all of them were white. Every one of them, okay? And the worst one was the leader, who in the end at least acknowledged how great the horse was, okay? And I'm thinking, that's what you're showing to the child. So what's the child going to think when they walk out there and they see a guy in a uniform? Let's say a policeman in a blue uniform. Are they going to think, oh, wonderful? Or are they going to think, wonder if that's a bad guy? Y'all, this stuff's been going on for years and years and decades and decades and decades. And it is very subtle. And again, it was a great story in the movie. You know, I'm not trying to condemn anybody and say you shouldn't watch it. I'm just saying this is the kind of subtle thing that's been happening in our country now for decades and decades and decades. There's a lot of hoopla going on now with regard to the, quote, communist thing out there. And I'm looking at people going, you know, this is not new. Most of what's happening as far as, quote, progressives are concerned came out from a guy who wrote a book in 1925. Okay? Communism, people going over into Russia and coming back to America, communism was very vogue in the 30s in this country. The difference was the mainstream media, which there wasn't much because there wasn't any television, right? But all the radio and all the paper and stuff, they didn't go along with it, so it wasn't promoted. Now you see it everywhere, right? And people are susceptible to all of these things because they don't know what actually happened. They don't know where we came from. And we talk about assimilation in our country, and I'll belabor this point for another minute, and I'll stop. We'll move on. When you talk about America being a melting pot, the idea is, yes, some of that culture, some of those things that come here, people from outside, from other areas of the world that come here, they bring a flavor that can enhance all of us. However, the idea is you don't come here and change our country. Okay? You're supposed to be coming here because of our country. And it seems like there's a lot of people that do want to come here because of the opportunity and the freedom that still exist in our country in spite of its rapid decline. But there are people who come here and then they decide, in fact, a lot of them were already here, they decide they don't like it. Julie always says, why don't they go find a country that already has the kind of government they want and move there, if that's what they really want, okay? The idea is we don't know who we are. So it's difficult to stand up against things and to realize what people endured and why those people came here and how things had developed since then. Now moving on. Now you can understand why the first part of the First Amendment of the Constitution, okay? 1791, that's when the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, were ratified, right? 1791. The very first part of the First Amendment, Bill of Rights, the amendment or specification, you could, it's not really an amendment, laying out the rights of the people. What is it? Yes. It says, Congress shall make no law establishing religion or abridging the free exercise thereof. Congress shall make no law, none, not at all, respecting the establishment of religion or abridging the free exercise thereof. Everything I've talked to you about for the last 35 minutes or so is why the very first thing that these men put down on paper to specifically delineate what the government was not going to do had to do with religion. Why? Because they lived it. This is 1791 when they ratified it. They wrote it before that. It had not been that long. Maybe some of their parents, especially their grandparents, they had already experienced these things. They knew what it was like to live in England when you had the king as the head of the church making laws telling you what you could believe and how you had to operate within that belief. They had already experienced for centuries what happened when you put a man in charge of an entire church over countries, and supposedly he was the authority, and nobody could challenge the authority, and you were not allowed to think for yourself. And if you got caught doing it, sometimes you even got killed. So that's why the first part of the First Amendment of the Constitution, the delineation of the rights of the people, starts out not with speech and not with the redress of the government and not with lawful assembly. It starts off saying, you will not make any law establishing a religion. And you will also not do anything to abridge the free exercise thereof. We ain't going, we left there, we ain't bringing it here. Right? Much is said about separation of church and state. That comes mostly, that phrase comes from Thomas Jefferson responding to the letter from the Danbury Baptist. Remember we talked about the Anabaptists, the rebaptizers that wound up getting burned at the stake and drowned? Okay. By the 1800s, they were known as, quote, Baptist. And what that meant was they believed that people should be baptized when they believed in Jesus and not before. And they also, they didn't have a problem necessarily with pouring or sprinkling, but they preferred to dunk because that's what they saw in Scripture, right? So the Danbury Baptist wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson in 1790. What did I say? 1790. So that would have been a year before the Bill of Rights was ratified, but it was already in progress, right? Thomas Jefferson at that time was the first Secretary of State of the United States. And just like Marco Rubio now, the Secretary of State is responsible for dealing with stuff out there, right? So the Danbury Baptist wrote Thomas Jefferson that they had concerns over what was going on. Well, what was going on? These people were from Connecticut. Connecticut, being one of the first states, going all the way back to 1639 in their charter, they had what they call fundamental orders. Wasn't really a constitution. It was just kind of loosely saying how things should work. They redid that in 1668 and came up with what they referred to as their first constitution. Then they redid that in 1818. Okay? So,